just when I saw a little naked grind. Started to cry.
What's up, Wisconsin? I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Today, having a lot of fun broadcasting from downtown Madison. Can see the Capitol building from the window. What could be more exciting? So hello, Mad Radio, WMDX Madison. But don't forget, if you're listening in La Crosse on the Eagle WLCX, I'm here for you too. As ever and always, with my great producer, runner of the board, thought partner, Anya Esther. Thanks for being here, Anya. If you want to give us a call this afternoon, 844-967-2789. If you're sick of actually punching in all the numbers, go get that app free from your favorite app store. You can call or text us with one touch. Call and text lines open, 844-967-2789. Really excited today. Going to be joined by my good friend, Joanna Fratchek. We're going to talk about immigration and her family and her personal story. And I'm actually going to do a little bit of setup on that before Joanna joins us at the bottom of the hour, because the Supreme Court just actually figured out that indeed the federal government is responsible for controlling borders. I thought that was sort of a given. They found it difficult to come to a decision. It was 5-4. We'll talk about some of the specifics there and what that bodes for immigration policy and foreign relations in general going forward. But before we get there, I thought it would be only fair to do a little RIP Nikki Haley, because she's as good as gone, everybody. I don't care what you think is coming next. The voters have spoken. The party elites have spoken. The primary structure has produced the result that we all knew it was always going to produce. Donald Trump will be the GOP nominee, for president. I called it, you know, if Nikki Haley doesn't win and win by a decent margin in New Hampshire, she's done. She didn't. She lost, and she lost by a decent margin. It's over. But let's not forget some of the very cogent policy discussions and positions that Ms. Haley has taken over this brief stint as presidential candidate. I think, Anya, maybe we'll start with those Nikki Haley flip-flops, because, boy, that kind of says it all, doesn't it? This is going to be cut for. Let's listen to, you know, still ongoing but soon completely toast presidential GOP candidate Nikki Haley and some of her flip-flops.
DeSantis is hitting you for claiming the retirement age is, quote, way, way too low.
I have never once said that.
But what we do know is 65 is way too low, and we need to increase that. We need to do it according to life expectancy.
I never once said Hillary Clinton was an inspiration.
I often say that the reason I got into politics was because of Hillary Clinton.
I never said government should go and require anyone's
name. That's false.
A huge issue that I'll deal with as soon as I get there is social media. They need to verify every single person on their outlet, and I want it by name.
What I have always said is boys going to a boys' bathroom, girls going to a girls' bathroom, but hold on one second.
When I was governor, they wanted to bring in a bathroom bill, a transgender bathroom bill, and I strong-armed and said, we are not going to have that in South Carolina.
Okay, so just to summarize, I never said we should raise the age of Social Security. And then she said exactly that. She said, I never said Hillary Clinton is an inspiration. And then she said exactly that. And social media, I've never said that the government should collect names of people on different social media sites. And then she said exactly that. And then she said, yeah, girls need to use girl bathrooms and boys need to use boy bathrooms. And then said, I would not support a bathroom bill, and basically strong-armed that down. I don't know if Nikki Haley actually knows what she thinks about these things or if she just panders all the time. Now, the most important of, in my opinion, of all of those four things that we just heard the flip-flop on, by far the most important one is, what do Republicans actually think about Social Security, right, Anya? I mean, that comes up all the gosh darn time. So lest there be any confusion, We're going to listen to Representative Mike Lee and his thoughts on Social Security. This is Republican Representative Mike Lee.
I'm here right now to tell you one thing that you probably haven't ever heard from a politician. It will be my objective to phase out Social Security,
nice.
To pull it up by the roots and get rid of it.
Yep, that's Mike Lee of Utah saying the quiet part out loud. And again, we can't forget Rojo, because he's weighed in on this, too. Here's our very own Wisconsin's own Senator Ron Johnson on Social Security.
Yes, and you know, defense spending has always been discretionary. No, VA spending is discretionary. What's mandatory are things like Social Security and Medicare. If you qualify for the entitlement, you just get it no matter what the cost. And our problem in this country is that more than 70% of our federal budget, of our federal spending, is all mandatory spending. It's on automatic pilot. You just don't do proper oversight. You don't get in there and fix the programs going bankrupt. It's just on automatic pilot. What we ought to be doing is we ought to turn everything into discretionary spending so it's all evaluated so that we can fix problems, programs that are broken.
Words, 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 words. What he just said was Social Security should need funding authorization every year. Meaning, if Congress doesn't fund it, you don't get your Social Security check. 844-967-2789. Text and phone lines are open. And beyond that, he's saying that any of these automatically renewing spending priorities, a lot of them have to do with the military. All of that needs to get re-upped every year. He didn't make distinctions between certain kinds of defense spending. And he referred to Social Security as an entitlement, which some people think is a bad word, but isn't Social Security the thing that you've earned by working and paying Social Security tax your entire adult life? I don't think I want that to be discretionary, right? I don't want to leave whether or not I'm going to get my Social Security check up to the whims of this super functional Congress. Do you?
I mean, it's definitely not like discretionary whether I put into it now. So it should be there when I'm older, right? Isn't that the idea? Sorry, I thought you were asking me, and then you said the phone number, so never mind.
I'm always asking you, Anya. I always want to hear what you think, and you said it better than I ever have. It's not discretionary for me to pay in. Why should it be discretionary for the government to pay me what I've been earning? Just ask Ron Johnson. We'll get rid of it. Ask Mike Lee. We'll get rid of it. Ask Nikki Haley. We'll get rid of it. This is a Republican policy point. So if you think Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, that these things are good, that they help prop up and sustain the middle class, you know, or that we stand by the deals that we make as a government with workers, I don't get where they're coming from on that. Now, very candidly, as someone who considers herself a fiscal hawk, as an economist, as someone who's worked in government, do I think that there needs to be some serious line item budget evaluation at every level of government? Absolutely. Is the money we're spending on this getting us the results that we think we should be getting as citizens? Yeah, we should be auditing the heck out of many government programs. But don't start lumping Social Security and other programs that help support middle-class families who work really hard their entire lives for those benefits and then act like it's some sort of bad thing that people rely on those benefits. We've promised them. Don't worry, I'm not quite done with Nikki Haley, just quite yet. Let's take a little listen to Nikki Haley on racism. This is cut three.
We're not a racist country, Brian. We've never been a racist country. Our goal is to make sure that today is better than yesterday. Are we perfect? No. I know I faced racism when I was growing up, but I can tell you today is a lot better than it was then.
I don't even get how those words in that order come out of her mouth. How about we ask Democratic Representative Barbara Lee if racism is still a problem in America? Let's listen to Barbara Lee.
Little kinks. First of all, racism, institutional racism, is in the DNA of this country.
when you look at what has taken place, look at our Native Americans, the genocide of Native Americans. When you look at what has taken place as it relates to African Americans, the 250 years plus of enslaving African Americans, and then you look at the disparities now in our community in terms of health care, unemployment, the wealth gap, housing. You can't tell me that systemic racism does not exist. It's not just a little kink. Secondly, you have personal racism, which is hard to address, but I'll give you one little story that shows you why we need to understand that I don't think she really understands racism. I was walking from the House building on Capitol Hill to the Capitol, and a man, a white guy, stopped me and told me I could not get into the members' elevator. And, you know, we have pens, and I was going to vote. And he blocked me from getting into the elevator and told me I was not a member of Congress, and it was for members only. I said, sir, I'm a member of Congress. And I showed him my pen, and he said, whose pen did you steal? Now, this is an example of what personal racism is and how people of color constantly have to deal with this each and every day. But systemic racism is in the policies of this country. And just look at what they're trying to do in terms of eliminating diversity, equity, and inclusion. They're trying to not allow for an equal and level playing field. And so it's a very dangerous position that she has. She's clueless.
Can you imagine this? You are an elected member of Congress, and some white guy comes up and blocks where you need to go. Like, who is this guy? Are you Capitol Police, sir? Get out of my way. He's a self-anointed policer of the members only Capitol elevator. That only happens if racism is an actual thing. And in case Ms. Haley had any doubt, one of her fellow former GOP candidates, Vivek Ramaswamy, here's what some of the Iowa voters had to say about Vivek.
Like where he came from. I'm sorry, I'm not being prejudiced, guys, but I don't like his name. I don't like where he came from. After 9/11, I still harbor a lot of hard feelings about that.
It's okay. I mean, is he Trump? No, but he's okay.
I had somebody call me for Vivek, and that person could not say his last name. But I was like, come on, are you just picking people out of the street or what?
Oh, there's so much there. We'll talk about it more when we come back. Join the conversation. 844-967-2789. I'm Maggie Dawn. She's Anya Esther. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked, everybody. Just a few important messages. We'll be right back.
The castle started spinning on. Maybe it was my brain.
What's up, Hayward, Wisconsin, listening on the Buzz of the North, WBZH, and hello, Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. She's Anya Esther. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Before the break, we were listening to some things about soon-to-be RIP Nikki Haley, and I don't want to sort of lean in too hard on the racism piece, but I think it's really important. And I think all of us agree that we want elected officials to be actually dealing with reality and responding and to care about the actual experiences of people. And I don't care if we're listening to some of these Iowa voters talking about the fact that Vivek Ramaswamy's got a different sounding name. I mean, query, if he ran as Vic Ramsey, would it still be a problem? Like, let's whitewash everybody's name.
Like, gee whiz. What?
Yeah, I was going to say, gee whiz, what's Nimarata? She's got a very long middle name. And then Haley, you know, she ran under her actual birth given name, Nimarata. I'm sure she'd be hearing some of the same stuff, too. So it doesn't seem consistent or reflective of reality to have any presidential candidate saying in one breath racism isn't real. And then in another, one of her fellow GOP members being subjected to racism, herself being subjected to racism, other elected officials, other public servants. just trying to go about walking through the Capitol, doing their job, being subjected to racism. I don't think that reflects reality. I think I want elected officials that do reflect reality. And on that point, we're going to listen to some Nikki Haley supporters after the New Hampshire primary sharing what they're going to do next.
And versus not Biden.
Not vote for President Trump. Let's take a listen.
What are you going to do?
That really puts me in a quandary. I frankly am more scared of another Trump term than another Biden term.
Low voted for him twice. I don't know that I could, in good conscience, vote for him again. I mean, he does things that we teach our children not to do.
I would probably end up either voting for myself as a protest or for Biden.
Says a lot, doesn't it? But let's not miss, this is the Republican Party's establishment line in response to these regular people expressing some of their concerns about another Trump presidency. We're going to listen to Marjorie Taylor Greene, the new spokesman for the national GOP. This is Cut 5.
This is a referendum on the Republican Party, and that's something I'll be saying in my speech tonight. This is a true change for the Republican Party. It says that not only do we support President Trump, we support his policies. And any Republican that isn't willing to adapt these policies, we are completely eradicating from the party.
It's funny. It's the first time I'm ever going to say this on the radio. I agree with absolutely everything Marjorie Taylor Greene just said in that clip, except for the fact that she said adapt these policies. And what she meant to say was adopt these policies. You know, I can give her some editorial notes afterwards. But yep, she's right. You either toe the Trump line or you're out. Chris Christie out. Nikki Haley out. Asa Hutchinson out. The only choice in today's GOP is Donald Trump. And dissension and discussion and debate about what the conservative position should be on X, Y, or Z is not permitted anymore. I think that's a loss. If I'm a conservative, and listen, my positions on various issues shift from time to time. I'm always trying to look at, is it efficient? Is it effective? Does it serve most Americans? Does it serve the middle class? That's how I assess policies. That's how I assess political arguments. So on some days, some of my friends will be like, you sound like a Republican. Yep, I do. But if you cannot have debate, if you can't question the decisions of any political leader, of any political party, that is the end of democracy as we know it. Don't we all think, no matter what side of the bread we butter it on, that challenging the policy positions of leaders within our party and also on the other team, if we're going to have to play in a two-party system, is good for democracy? That parties shouldn't be silencing the internal debate. And listen, you need only look to the fractures, the debates, the conflict that exists within folks that are left-leaning on a day-to-day basis to see Democrats have those debates out in the open. Sometimes it ain't good to watch. You're watching the sausage get made. But that view of the GOP that Marjorie Taylor Greene so clearly and correctly expressed scares me. Forget Donald Trump. It shouldn't be agree with everything this one person says or you're out or we will eradicate you. Even the choice of language, doesn't it make your skin crawl? I'm sorry, what do you mean, Representative Greene? Eradicate? Eugh. Disagree with, debate, shout down because it's silly or stupid. Sure. Eradicate. One of our texters texting in the second debate, Nikki Haley said, I quote, single-handedly took down the unions, end quote. Does this sound like somebody who cares about working people? No, it sure doesn't. And there's this great populist uprising. You know, that's what they always say about the former president who's running again and is the nominee for the Republican ticket. Oh, he's so populist. That's fine to say, and maybe, geez, fun to watch. There's entertainment value there. I'm not going to debate that. But is that guy the one who cares about you, middle class worker in a factory? You, family farm owner. You, working professional. You, person who needs to get kids into health, into childcare that's affordable. You, with large medical bills. You, with crushing student debt. Does that man care about you and your family's pocketbook? I don't know. I'm not going to tell you the answer to that. My opinion is no, he doesn't. He wants your vote. I mean, would you vote for a candidate that's like, just be sure you vote and then you can die? Because that's what he said. I don't think that's what we want in our leadership. I don't think that's very American. I don't think stopping debate, stopping discussion is very American. Talk about cancel culture. Isn't that the GOP hallmark now? Let's agree with Trump or we'll cancel, we'll eradicate you. I just, it doesn't track for me. It doesn't track, doesn't hold water. 844-967-2789. We're getting ready to bring on my friend, soon to be your friend, Joanna Frotchek. We're going to talk about her family's experience as immigrants, her experience as an immigrant, becoming a lawyer and now serving the public. She works in the city attorney's office of the city of Milwaukee. I think it is, she's so representative of exactly what the promise of the United States holds and the promise that immigration holds for every single one of us who are citizens today. Unless you are of a First Nation or descendant of a First Nation, we are all immigrants, lest we forget it. And after we have a chit-chat with Joanna, I'm going to tell you about that Supreme Court decision. Shadow docket decision. Would you be shocked to find out it was the shadow docket? I sure wouldn't. Told you all about it in mid-December. Go check it out. You can always find my podcasted shows on a whole variety of topics at civicmedia.us. I'm Maggie Dawn. She's Anya Esther. Keep it locked, everybody. Few short messages. We're going to be talking immigration with an immigrant. Seems like a good thing to do here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
And so on and so forth. Some of you may die.
You love me. I'm Maggie Dawn. She's Anya Esther. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Just a couple programming notes so you can put in the calendar alert. I'm going to be talking all things death penalty on Monday. You're not going to want to miss that. There's some pretty incredible things going on. The United Nations has actually gotten involved. I'm going to go deep on that. Death penalty in the United States. Don't worry, I'll put in some light content as well. It won't be all doom and gloom on Monday. Tuesday, let's have a debate about debates. Because the question is looming now. We've got the two candidates that I don't think anybody really wanted to see as the only two candidates left, Biden and Trump. Do you think they'll actually ever see each other on a debate stage? And if so, will it be worth anything? Let's have a debate about debates on Tuesday. Wednesday, I'm going to talk about a whole slew of anti-freedom bills that are coming down the pike in states close to you. And on Thursday, I'm going to be talking about the James Beard Awards. If you don't know this from listening to my show, I'm a huge foodie. I don't get these curves just looking at a plate. It's from the good eating. You know, I'm a Wisconsinite. What can I say? We're going to talk about the James Beard Awards, pretty much the Michelin star of the United States. We've got some state chefs that are nominated. The nominations just dropped today. Love talking about food. I'm going to see if I can get one of my chefy friends to come on the show with me, and we will literally chop it up, everybody. Pun intended. But getting back to today, super excited. Here, broadcasting from Madison, live at the WMDX Mad Radio Studios, to be joined from my hometown, Milwaukee, by my good friend, Joanna Frotchek. Welcome, Joanna, to the Maggie Dawn Show. Thanks so much for being here.
Hi, I'm so excited to be here.
Yay!
Yay!
Well, thanks for taking time out of your very busy day. I just want to kind of jump right in there. You are an immigrant from Poland. Tell us what your story is. When did you begin the immigration process? Were you doing it with your entire family? How long did it take? All that good stuff. Tell us a little bit about what it's like for an immigrant.
Yeah. My story, it all boils down to love.
Yes.
This is why I'm here. I'm usually guided by my heart, more so than by logic. Anyway, I was 25 when I graduated law school in Poland. And at that point, I already knew that I want to come here to the United States, States one more time because of the guy who I met years prior. So this was true love. So I graduated, came here, and the process of getting all paperwork squared away begun. It was complicated. Gladly, I have only vague recollection of it because, like a lot of things, that is you just one and done, but you have to go through it. It is difficult. It's laborious. It's costly. But you successfully go through it. And then once you succeed, you can rest assured you never have to go back to it. But just to give you a little bit of a history of how it was happening for me, step by step. Well, we got married and that's how the process began. At that time, he was a student and I didn't have a work permit. So I was not working. So the financials were scarce. And Wisconsin International was Institute of Wisconsin was immensely helpful in that process.
So did you have to hire your own immigration lawyer, or did that institute help you navigate what is a very complex process and system?
That institute helped a lot.
The name of the institute again, Joanna?
International Institute of Wisconsin.
Okay.
With headquarters here in Milwaukee downtown. Excuse me, I'm actually a little bit under the weather. So,
well, I appreciate you toughening it out. That's the International Institute of Wisconsin here in Milwaukee, if anybody is needing some immigration help. So you began the process with the institute, very helpful to you. How costly is the process and how long did it take for you?
With private attorney, it would be probably a lot more costly. And I did it, now I'll be estimating 15 years ago, started maybe 16. So I don't know what the cost would be right now.
Okay.
It's probably a lot different, but it definitely was several thousand dollars.
Back then, my understanding in having done some immigration work myself on a pro bono basis and having talked to other private sector immigration lawyers, as well as a couple of my other friends who have immigrated, is that those costs today can run north of $10,000 easily if it's complicated or there are paperwork problems or documentation problems. The cost can creep up very quickly to above $20,000. And it sounded like you were saying it took about a year and a half for
more.
You to complete the more than that. About how long would you say it took, Joanna?
Well, first it was just the initials. Then it was, I can't tell you exactly because my recollection is now pretty vague of the timeline exactly. It had to coincide with paperwork for from the court, from the wedding, so on and so forth. All these things are variables that are probably different in every person's case. Again, with institute, their billable hours are those were not expensive, but costs and fees to immigration, for immigration paperwork and filing fees and all that stuff, that is something that costed. I think the bulk of the cost was that stuff.
Yeah. So on top of the attorney fees, whether you're getting help through an institute or at discounted rates like Joanna did, or hiring a private lawyer, you also have all of the numerous multiple hearings and filing fees and you need to show up, can be quite laborious. Do you remember the day that you officially became a citizen? Where did you attend a ceremony?
Oh yeah, but that was before that. What was very important is you get your green card, and that's pretty much when all the work is done. You get your work, you're getting your work permit, then you're getting your green card, if you keep going with the process, and you can be done at that point. And I was sort of done at that point. I thought so, at least. But then I decided to go all in. And I remember that I definitely wanted to vote yes. in elections. So that was my motivation. And I was already working. I mean, I was working for the city of Milwaukee for a while. And I really wanted to vote in that upcoming election. So I did.
You went through the citizenship process. You were yep. sworn in as a citizen. And where did you do your swearing in? Was it at the federal courthouse?
Yeah, it was here at the federal courthouse. It was a very important moment. It brought me to tears.
Yes. I was at a swearing in, a citizenship swearing in for a client of mine that I'd worked for in New York. And if an American citizen, if anybody out there listening has never been at one of those ceremonies, I suggest you go and observe because it is so emotionally moving for so many people. And it represents years of work and yes. thousands of dollars and a citizenship exam and all of these things. And the seriousness with which folks like yourself, Joanna, take their responsibilities as citizens, I think can be quite an exemplar to all of us who just were born here, right? And I love the fact that your motivating factor was the idea that you were working in government, but you wanted to have a say in government. It's been a pleasure. I worked with you when I worked at the city back in the day, and it's been so wonderful to watch your journey. And you had to go through another process to then become a licensed lawyer to practice law in the state of Wisconsin, even though you were already a lawyer in Poland. How did that go? Was that just as expensive and time consuming as the citizenship?
More expensive. More time consuming. Although getting my citizenship was stretched out over time.
Yes.
Getting my law license was definitely very time consuming, but in a shorter period of time where I had to prepare for a bar exam, then take the bar exam, took one take.
I was just going to say, I know you're a first time passer, and I just want to emphasize that. I think that's so amazing. Here you are in a second language. These are bar exams cover all manner of topics, including things that are really arcane, like creditor laws. I mean, they touch on everything. And I think that's just wonderful and speaks to your commitment and how smart you are as well, Joanna, that you passed on the first time. And how many years ago was that you were?
That was 10 years ago. I'm on my 11th year. So 10 year anniversary of my admission to Wisconsin bar. That was something.
Well, congratulations on your 10-year anniversary. Tell our listeners a little bit about your practice of law, because you began in the city attorney's office. You did a little time in private practice. Why did you come back to the city? You're now an assistant city attorney for the city of Milwaukee. Why come back to the public sector?
I think I want to say a little bit more about my beginnings.
Please.
And it started with the city and how it all started for me, how I began the journey of being an attorney. It was a very unorthodox path because there was no set path. What you have to do, what paper forms you need to file to get approval, it was very unorthodox. And
because you had a foreign law license from Poland, is that why it was so unusual? They hadn't encountered that much?
Yeah, yes and no. It's simply there was no set path and steps in Wisconsin that you have to go through in order to get permission to sit for a bar exam or be admitted. And I kind of forced that path myself that time, but I barely take credit for it back then. Yes, I did that. But if it wasn't for people who at that time believed in me more than I believed in myself, it wouldn't have happened. And those were my bosses, Grant Langley, Linda Burke. It was Rudy Conrad, Stu Macamole, who is my colleague, but he was amazing, Vince Michella, and Donald Schrieffer.
Yeah.
We all remember Don.
Don.
Rest in peace, Don. But
yes, I think I worked with all the people that Joanna just mentioned, and I think what they have in common and what many immigrant experiences that are positive is you have people in your professional life and your personal life that stand up to advocate for you.
Yes.
And how incredibly important that is. And all of those individuals that you mentioned of highest integrity. I love that that's part of your story.
And they're a huge part of my story. Over time, I learned to believe in myself a little more. That's one of the things that maybe it's common with immigrants, especially raised in the culture of tiger moms.
Yes.
You're really not ever good enough and you expect so much of yourself. You can never really rest and be satisfied with yourself. So that it's kind of counterproductive. To a certain extent, yes. I'm so glad that these people were in my life at that time and everything came together. Now I overcame those self-limiting beliefs, hopefully to some
yes, good degree. Yes, you certainly have. Can you stick around for a little bit more talk on the radio, Joanna? That's great. We're talking with my good friend and yours, Assistant City Attorney Joanna Fracek, an immigrant who shared a bit of her story, not just about how she became a citizen, but how she eventually got admitted to the bar in Wisconsin, forging her own path, and really speaks to a story of both resilience, aspiration, and the support that we all need, but especially immigrants in this country need to seek and fulfill their highest purpose in conjunction and community with all of us. I applaud you, Joanna. Stick around. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. If you want to ask Joanna a question, 844-967-2789. We'll be back with more just after these important messages. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network, broadcasting live from the WMDX studios in downtown Madison. But you can listen to us statewide. Hello, Fox Valley, listening on WISS, Oshkosh Air Support. So much going on. We may not have time to get to the Supreme Court case this week, addressing the federal government's power to control borders and really the power over foreign policy. Don't worry if we miss it this week. I'll get to it on Monday. Because most importantly, I'm joined by my guest, my friend, fellow lawyer, former colleague, Joanna Fracek. We've been talking about your experience here in the United States, becoming an attorney, your experience getting your citizenship, what a process, how expensive it all is, how stressful it all is. And here you are now 10 years in to being a lawyer. And tell us a little bit about your journey as a lawyer and as a practicing attorney, because you started, as you were talking about, in the city attorney's office. Tell us what you did next.
I started at the city attorney's office. I spent here about 5 years. Then I moved to private sector. I was doing family law for another 5. And since the summer, I'm back with the city. And I can tell you, when everyone is asking why, I always say for the good things that I remember from being here. And those good things are often associated with other opportunities that being within the government really presents. And those are my passions. Those really overlap with my passions and my drive to go outside what I do from 9 to 5.
Yes.
I must mention, I had a daughter. She is 4 and a half right now. She is a wonderful little girl, so powerful, and I want to instill and lead by example. I was always driven by
being involved with organizations that support women, women's career, women empowerment, supporting each other in all various stages in our professional path and development. And also, I have an incredible affinity for my heritage. And being involved and seeking out actively and working towards finding those opportunities where I can bridge a gap between my two homes, which is Milwaukee now for sure, and Lublin, and that's my hometown in Poland. Mm-hmm. Doing these two things were my driving force, and I had so much fun and I had success in it. Then I wanted to try private practice for different reasons. So I did that. COVID happened. My daughter was born. She was growing up. And then when these things went away and she became a little bit more independent and she's no longer a baby, I really realized the good things that I still miss. And I could be doing it, but it wasn't really making so much sense. I started looking into coming back to the city is actually realizing itself. I committed this year to really honing down on these goals. That is why I joined organizations, Emerging Women Leaders, that's a Tempo organization, Wisconsin Women Network, getting back to Association Women Lawyers, maybe more in active forms. I used to be on the board, and also reheating connections with Polish organizations here and actually looking for new ways of reviving this Polish community here and seeing what we can do together.
I just think you're such an inspiration, Joanna. I have just an unlimited amount of respect for you and your story. I'm so happy and thankful that you took the time today to share it with us. Certainly a life of achievement and, again, dedication to getting there. It's never been easy, right? And now back in public service and looking for other ways to give back, not just in your 9-to-5 life, but give back to your community, help support other women professionals. I think if I can say, you are exactly what makes the United States so very special. And it is also what makes Milwaukee special. It's also what makes the people that work in Wisconsin government and local government here so special. You're going to almost make me like choke up talking on the air, but I can't tell you how much I admire you. It was such a joy to run into you at Tempo's holiday party and to reconnect and set all of this up. So just thank you so much for sharing your story with everyone here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Are there last thoughts that you'd like to share with everybody?
Yes, Maggie, hearing these words from you is just beyond for me, because I remember you from the city attorney's office years back, and I was just starting as a baby lawyer, and you definitely, you were the ball of energy that I admired and I aspire to. So it's today, it's so great. Thank you for the invitation. And the fact that we ran into each other, I feel that this is just January and I have a whole year ahead of me. Things will happen.
Yes, good things to you, my friend. A ball of energy you are yourself. Such a pleasure to work and now become your friend in a different way. We will do this again sometime. Thanks so much, Joanna. My hat's off to you. Have a great rest of the week. For everybody else, coming up next week, again, talking death penalty. I'll talk more about the Supreme Court case that just got dropped out of the shadow docket, very much affecting immigration law and foreign policy in the United States. You're going to want to keep it locked. We've got the Empowered Caregiver coming up just after my show this afternoon. Also next week, we're going to have that debate about debates on Tuesday. And if you have forgotten, I'm here to remind you, there is a survey that is live right now. Go to civicmedia.us. Find my show. Go check out any of the show notes. There is a link there to the survey because I want to talk about this year what you want me to be talking about. I want to hear what you think works and doesn't work on this show. More guests, less guests, different guests, more guests like Joanna. I certainly hope you agree with me that they are a great addition. that is there for you. I really do want to encourage everybody to go check that out and give me some feedback, because this is, we're here to do this together. So please go do that. On Wednesday, we'll be talking about these anti-freedom bills. And on Thursday, we'll be chopping it up about food and the James Beard Awards. So mark your calendar for next week's lineup for the Maggie Dawn Show. And as ever and always, I will stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. And always remember, it's better when we stand together. Thank you, Joanna Fronczak. And thanks, everybody, for listening. I'll be back on Monday here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
They're over there. Oh, all of me is so fine, you're so fine, you blow my mind. Don't be-